Today, an update on legislation that is important to all of us on principles and policies. Welcome to today's Monday's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, Vice Chairman, good friend, fellow analyst, and all-around great guy, Chuck Michaels.
Good to be with you, Barry. I think we're going to do some follow-up work today.
Yes, we are. If you were with us last week or at the end of the week, you heard us talk about a bill that was going to be heard on the floor of the United States Senate, Senate 1867, or what was affectionately known as the National Defense Authorization Act. As we had asked our listeners, that there were some things in that particular piece of legislation that were very troubling and very threatening to our individual liberties as American citizens. And we asked people to get involved by calling the United States Senate. Well, we wanted to give you an update today because there was more action taken on that bill. And Chuck, I wanted to just turn it over to you to let you give people the update on what was happening with that piece of legislation.
Well, there was an amendment that was offered, apparently, that would allow for American citizens to be not only arrested and detained, but if they were tried and found not guilty, this is the amazing thing, found not guilty, they could still be held outside the borders of the United States in like a detention center like Guantanamo until the quote-unquote end of hostilities. Well, as you and I have talked about on many occasions, a quote-unquote war on terror is an impossibility. And it's also, it's a nebulous thing that has no real end point. Because terror is a tactic and not something that you can fight a war against. For instance, this would be something like declaring war on the full frontal infantry charge. It's an absurdity. And in fact, since terrorism is a tactic that is used by combatants, hostilities cannot end against the military tactic until that tactic stops being used. There are military tactics that have been used for thousands of years. If we were to, say, declare war against the, you know, some kind of an envelopment movement or a pincher movement, we'll be fighting that war until the second coming of Christ. The fact is that this is a propaganda move. Fighting a war on terror and getting people to buy into a war on a military tactic is a way that you can fight a war in perpetuity, sort of like in the book, if anyone has read 1984, they will notice that the war never ends. There's always a war in 1984. The allies change and the battlefield changes, but the fact is the war never goes away. Every once in a while, there's an announcement on the radio that Eurasia is our ally now. East Asia is our enemy. East Asia has always been our real enemy. Eurasia has always been our ally. And now we're united for the defeat of East Asia. That's exactly the kind of thinking that's going on here. So in essence, people could be arrested, tried, found not guilty, and kept in jail until their corpses rotted. That's no good. Apparently, Senator Rand Paul brought up a tactic. He used parliamentary procedure to kill off this amendment. It appears that the amendment probably would have passed by a voice vote.
That's usually the way you try to do it when you want to avoid actually putting people on record as to where they voted.
That's right. You call for a voice vote. You and I have been involved in some of these parliamentary tactics before in other issues. And what you do is you force a roll call vote so that everybody goes on record for what they're voting for. And this is testament to the fact that little programs like ours were putting tremendous pressure on the Senate over this S-1867.
So ladies and gentlemen of our audience, give yourselves a big hand.
That's right. Give yourself a big hand, because basically what you did was, I won't tell you that the thing is dead, because there are parts of this bill that continue to stand, and in fact, they need to be defeated, and there is going to be another chance to defeat it, but we'll get to that later. This thing was defeated 41-59, which is actually pretty solid drubbing from a bill that was going to pass by voice vote.
Yeah, that's a 3-2 margin. That's considered a beatdown.
Now, again, this wasn't the bill. This was an amendment to the bill that would have made the bill even worse. The fact is, the bill itself passed, and it passed with some of the offending sections intact, as near as I can tell. Now, this is one of the problems. Sometimes it takes a little lag time to find out which sections remain in a bill and which don't. But I can't find a reference anywhere to the fact that sections 1030, 1031, 1035, several others have been removed. So those sections are still in there that are offensive. What's going to happen to this bill, since it doesn't match the House version?
Exactly.
These two bills have to go to a reconciliation committee, where committee members from a House and the Senate will get together, pull together the changes that they're going to do to each side's bill, and then send them out to both houses for another vote to confirm that reconciliation bill. And the fact is, you can kill the bad sections of this bill in a reconciliation committee, which is what we really need to focus on doing. If those sections are still in there and we're still researching this, we need to kill this in a reconciliation hearing.
Absolutely. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that sounds like a lot of inside baseball. But the point is that what you need to do now, if you are concerned about our individual liberties, and if you want to see them protected continually and not being thrown away upon the rocks of a presumed scare of terrorism on our shores, you need to contact your federal elected officials. That's your United States senators, Rob Portman and Sherrod Brown. And you also need to contact your local congressman. For this area, I believe, is Steve Austria. He is the local congressman in this district. Those individuals need to be contacted by you to ask them to remove the language of Section 1031 and 1032, which, to everything we can see, is still remaining in the bill.
I think it's 1030 and 1031 are the really offensive portions.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think 1035 is also pretty bad. The problem is not having the bill right in front of me, but it is 1030 and 1031 that are antithetical to the United States Constitution. You know, folks, one of the reasons you go to war is to protect, defend, and uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And the way to win that battle is not to negate all the rights contained in the Bill of Rights in order to get the job done.
That's right.
Again, we'll go back to Benjamin Franklin's famous quote from 1759, in which he said, "Those who would surrender precious liberty to gain a little temporary security deserve neither liberty nor security." And in fact, that's the case here. People are being hoodwinked into this idea that they need to give up their freedom in order to be safe. Well, frankly, folks, one of the things about living in a free society is risk. There is always a reasonable risk in a free society that something bad is going to happen. The government cannot protect us 100% from anything. And yes, I do not want to be blown up when I go to the post office. But the fact is, I'm willing to take a minor risk so that I don't have to pass through a checkpoint and have my personal belongings rifled and something misinterpreted that may be in there, and suddenly find myself detained in Guantanamo, tried, found not guilty, and still detained because I look like I might be someone who has dangerous ideas. And that is the bottom line here.
Absolutely. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for doing your civic duty, and we're just asking you to continue to do so until we get our elected officials and our federal government to understand that our liberties are maintained by our Constitution, and they, as swearing an oath to uphold and defend that same document, have no liberty to take away our liberties, regardless of the emergency that might be in their mind.
Well, we need to monitor this for people and let them know when the thing is up for the reconciliation hearing. Generally, they want to get it done pretty quick, if I'm not mistaken, Barry. You know more
Yes.
about the legislative process on this, but they generally want to do it pretty fast.
Right. Well, I think with the amount of attention this bill has gotten, probably with the amount of contacts that have gone into our elected officials, they may be slowing down on this one just a little bit. And again, there may become a situation where with enough public outcry, they will remove those offending portions of the bill, pass the defense spending part of it, and take those things up later in a different piece of legislation. And ladies and gentlemen, on the state front, we have another piece of legislation which is going to be going up for a hearing this coming Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the Ohio House Education Committee. Senate Bill 165 is a bill that would require the teaching of the founding documents of our country, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Ohio Constitution in our public school classroom. And I know right now people are saying, well, wait a minute, don't they do that already? Well, in Ohio, the answer is, well, not really. As a matter of fact, Ohio was graded a D- for our history standards because of the lack of specificity given and lack of attention given to this particular section of our own history in our Ohio public schools. So Senator Larry Aboff and House Member Representative John Adams have come together to require through the Department of Education that in our social studies curriculum, there would be 1 credit hour of the 3 credit hour requirement set aside specifically focused on history and government, and with that, a half unit of American history and a half unit of American government. That way we can get to the specific study, and the bill spells out that they want them to study those particular documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Ohio Constitution, and so that our students will understand their heritage and their history. This bill passed the Senate earlier this summer, and it's sitting in front of the Ohio House. Now, our big problem, Chuck, as you and I were made aware of, our friend Chris Long at Ohio Christian Alliance has helped move this bill along with our organization, the Institute for Principal Policy. We found out that some national social studies organizations don't like the idea of us spelling out our American heritage and history to our students, and they want to eliminate that provision and basically make this bill no more than a sense of the legislature resolution that it would be a good idea to teach more about our documents, but not to separate it out from the 3 credits of social studies so that they can continue to teach things like problems of democracy and world government 101.
Well, it's amazing to me that anybody would want to purposefully stop the study of America's founding documents. I mean, why would anyone not want children to understand the Constitution, which is the way their government works, the Declaration of Independence, which is why our government is built the way it is, the Northwest Ordinance, which was using the Declaration and the Constitution to put together a law for the formation of new states, one of which was Ohio, the documents, other founding era documents. It's amazing to me that any group calling itself an education group, specifically social studies, would want to remove sections that would require our children to understand why their country works the way it does.
Well, you know what? It's hard to understand as well, but that's the way politics are played in our state government. Honestly, folks, especially those who are our local listening audience, you can have a big impact on what happens with this bill. Now, the amendment that would do this would strip the bill is being brought forward and is actually, from what we understand, is supported by the Republican chairman of the committee, who is Fairfield County's own state representative, Gerald Stebbleton from Lancaster. I think that folks ought to call Representative Stebbleton as the chairman before Wednesday afternoon and let him know that you support keeping a distinctive of teaching America's founding documents and making sure that it's much more than just a resolution, that we're actually requiring our Department of Education and our public schools to specifically teach these documents and set them out as an individual credit. Now, you can call Representative Stebbleton in his office at area code 614-466-8100. That's Gerald Stebbleton from Lancaster, who's the chairman of the House Education Committee. It is our understanding that Chairman Stebbleton supports the amendment that would take away this distinctive and make this no more than just a sense of the legislature resolution. That needs to stop. He needs to hear from you, his constituents, that you support requiring the department and our schools to teach our founding history specifically, as best you can.
Here's what we should do. Let's give them the specifics again. Senate Bill 165.
Senate Bill 165.
And we want them to keep the requirement that would require the Department of Education and schools funded by the state to separate out and teach America's founding documents.
Right. It's called the Founding of America Documents Bill. And it needs to be remaining as a directive on our schools, because right now we fail miserably in teaching our own history and heritage. We're great at teaching the history of communist China and the Soviet Union and Cuba, but when it comes to what our own Constitution says or why our Declaration of Independence is important, our students are left sorely lacking right now in our history standards in Ohio. The State Board of Education supports this bill. They support having this spelled out. The citizens support it. The Ohio Christian Alliance supports it. The Institute for Principled Policy supports it. And we would ask you to support it by calling Representative Gerald Stebbleton, 614-466-8100, and ask him to pass the Founding of America Documents Bill, Senate Bill 165. Now, there is one amendment that's coming to it that we support, and it is to merge it with the House version of the bill, which would actually have this start not just in high school, but as early as the 4th grade, where our students would start getting this information. And not in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, but going back to the middle school, 4th, 5th, 6th grades, and on up, where they would start learning about our heritage and history. So we want to support that amendment and oppose the amendment that would take away the specificity of teaching these documents.
And with that, we're way out of time, so join us tomorrow for more principles and policies at 5:30 right here.